I'm going to call this meeting to order. The Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors, please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic of which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we will move to the public comment period. Would anybody like to address this board on an issue that is not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will move to the consent calendar. Would any member of this board wish to pull an item from the consent agenda calendar? Okay, seeing none, we'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Okay, motion's made by Supervisor Monteith, seconded by Supervisor O'Brien. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion's carried. Okay, item four. B4.
Yes, as we get the PowerPoint set up to provide to you some additional information relative to the impacts of the state budget on Stanislaus County government and our ability to deliver services, I wanted to open with just a couple comments, and I will also close with a couple comments. First is an expression of my appreciation to the department heads who have worked so hard through the proposed and the final budget to both identify the possible impacts to their budgets of the different proposals in the state budget. And in doing that, they have been very successful at anticipating actions that the state would take. What we will see as we go through this presentation is that even with the best of crystal balls, we are not at 100%, but the additional changes that need to be made will be made during first quarter review with the Board of Supervisors in November. To begin with, I want to introduce to you the final budget adopted by the Board of Supervisors pursuant to the board priorities, and that budget was $966,539,057. That is a fairly significant number, but not a significant increase in relation to what it's been the previous year. So we saw very small growth in 2008-2009 fiscal year budget. Wanted to provide to you an overview, and we've asked the departments that will be most heavily impacted as a result of actions taken in the adoption of the final budget and the budget trailer bills to present to you the information relative to their budget units. We're going to start with an overview of the priority of a safe community, and you'll hear from Jerry Powers, our Chief Probation Officer Adam Christensen, Sheriff, and District Attorney Birgit Flatiger.
Yes, that's my cue. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Jerry Powers, Chief Probation Officer. I will briefly kind of go through our anticipated reductions due to the state budget and hopefully expand a little bit on some of them as far as potential service impacts. The first reduction that is up on your screen is an approximately $212,000 reduction to our Juvenile Justice Crime Prevention Program. That is our program that funds our high-risk offender programs. It funds a deputy sheriff. It funds a Modesto police officer. Our electronic monitoring program, as well as some other smaller programs, mental health programs and things like that. We're going to adjust our budget to hopefully come in line with the $212,000 reduction by cutting the sheriff's funding out of this program by $10,000 in their contract, reducing approximately $9,000 of a MPD contract, reducing mental health services by $15,000, as well as leaving a deputy probation or two deputy probation officer positions vacant in that high risk offender program. What this will essentially mean is that We will have more offenders being supervised by fewer officers in the high-risk offender program. We will have some reductions in mental health services for some of our at-risk juveniles, as well as some reductions in services by the sheriff and Modesto Police Department. The next program that we're seeing a reduction in is the mentally ill offender program. We are one of the contractors in the mentally ill offender program. It's actually a program that is funded to the sheriff's department. The reduction is for 3/4 of the year, or $105,000. We were funded through September of this year. This reduction essentially will require us to eliminate a DPO and a legal clerk position that were part of the mentally ill offender program. Supervisor Monteith actually was at the first graduation from the mental health court last week from that program. We had 3 graduates. We are attempting to work with mental health, behavioral health, and the sheriff's department, as well as the courts, to see if there's any way that we can continue this program without the state funding. It will be difficult. It will require us to shift some services. The next area of funding reduction is a 10% reduction to the juvenile probation and camp funding. This is a general fund offset for juvenile probation services that the state provides the county. The reduction is a total of about $89,000. We are attempting to look at some additional revenue claiming to offset this reduction. We're not sure at this point whether we'll be able to completely offset that reduction. And lastly, we are reducing our services in the Prop 36 program. That is the state-adopted Substance Abuse Crime Prevention Act, or voter-adopted Substance Abuse Crime Prevention Act. The current reduction is approximately $54,000 to us. Unfortunately, what we've been doing over the past several years is trying to fill, as that program has steadily decreased in funding, the number of offenders has steadily increased. We have over 550 offenders in that program currently. When the program was initially started, there was funding for 6 probation officers. We will be reducing the services in that to 3 probation officers due to these cuts, as well as the growth in offenders. So we will have 3 probation officers supervising 550 drug offenders when this cut is absorbed. Excuse me. We will return to you first quarter with some recommendations for deleting some positions. We're trying to be creative about how we shift some priorities around to adjust to some of these cuts. None of them are easy. We wish we didn't have to do it. It's one of those careful what you wish for. We wanted a state budget. We didn't want this state budget, but this is what we've gotten. What I would say lastly is certainly some of these cuts may be offset. In November, there's a proposition, Proposition 6, on the state ballot, in which many of these programs are funded if the proposition passes. So we're very hopeful that we get some relief via the state ballot for some of these state budget cuts. And that would conclude my presentation. If you have any questions, I'd certainly address any. Thank you.
Good questions for Mr. Powers?
Thank you, Sheriff. Adam Christensen will be next.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, and Mr. Doran. Adam Christensen, your sheriff here in Stanislaus County, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to come before you this morning and at least share a little bit of how these impacts with the state's budget crisis, how those are going to impact public safety here locally. And certainly, Jerry Powers has covered most of the issues. We have many partnerships together in a lot of these programs, and so I'll keep my comments brief. I think that Jerry very eloquently talked about the mentally ill offender crime reduction grant that we received, and that funding no longer exists. That's a partnership between many people, including the behavioral health, mental health folks here in Stanislaus County, Denise Hunt, and others who work with us to manage our mentally ill offenders. And even though the funding has been removed from the state's budget and we've lost that funding here locally, the problem doesn't go away. We're still dealing with mentally ill offenders that come into our custody on a daily basis, that we have to work with them. They have to receive the appropriate care. They have to receive the appropriate medication. They have to receive the appropriate follow-up care. Otherwise, it does nothing to lower our recidivism rate, and we continue to receive these people in custody. And they are a very unique challenge to manage in custody. So that's going to be one of those things that we will have to continue to provide those services with existing appropriations. And again, as Jerry mentioned, try to find new and creative ways to get the same job done, even though we've lost this funding. Certainly, jail booking fees is a controversy that is known up and down the state. And while we had a solution that we thought was a good one, again, the funding has now created a unique situation where we either have to fully fund the jail operation or find some other way to make ends meet other than relying upon cities that simply don't have any money either. So, again, we're going to have to work together to address those issues. Certainly, I have concerns about using grant money or state or federal funding in any form to pay for personnel costs, because when the money dries up and goes away, as you know, we have a no backfill policy, and so that creates problems for us if we don't have existing allocated positions to put people into. And right now, I'm happy to report that we have zero vacancies in our adult detention division, and we're down to 4 vacancies in operations. So in the last 2 years, we've filled 40-plus vacancies, restoring services to the community, including a street crimes unit, our sting team, including community deputies, and many of the services that the citizens throughout Stanislaus County previously enjoyed. We're back to those levels, and we're there because of the support of this board and the community and the CEO's office. It's going to be a tough decision to take a step backwards in providing a good level of service to the community. So those are some of the things we'll have to consider in the future. And finally, the 34% reduction in CalMet funding. This was something that I and many of my fellow sheriffs fought for in protecting this funding. Methamphetamine right now is $20,000 a pound on the street. The increase in price has not decreased demand. If anything, it's fueled property crimes. And all you have to do is turn to your local paper and the media to find out, to read about issues related to metal theft. I know the agricultural community is not happy with those issues. Certainly, we've read about the cases where, you know, we take the approach systems at the airport offline because of metal theft, the sign in Ripon, you know, the sign being removed from the freeway because of metal theft. All of those crimes are fueled by methamphetamine, by drug addicts who are stealing to support their habit. This board worked very hard to implement a local county ordinance, and now we worked with our legislators in Sacramento, and finally the governor signed Assembly Bill 844 to put some teeth into trying to deal with metal salvaging companies, the local companies who are accepting stolen property. And while some of those businesses are legitimate and work with law enforcement in an effort to control the problem and mitigate it, unfortunately, we have some unscrupulous business owners that know good and well that some of this property they're bringing in is stolen. So because of the ongoing problem of meth, it was very difficult to take a hit like this and reduce our services. And as you know, all of our narcotic suppression teams are co-located. Our CalMet team works directly with SDEA and with the HIDTA team in combating narcotics distribution, manufacturing, and distribution throughout the community and throughout the Central Valley. And so we took the step in advance, knowing that this was going to be an impact to us. We moved some management-level folks back to operations, put them in existing vacancies, and basically prepared for the fact that we knew we were going to suffer a 34% reduction. The sheriffs themselves last week at a board of directors meeting decided to share that pain equally. So all of the sheriffs who previously enjoyed $29.5 million from the state in narcotic suppression money through CalMet agreed to take a 34% hit, a reduction across the board equally. So we've already planned for that, and I've had many conversations with Rick Robinson, and the commitment has been that we will continue to focus on public safety, we'll continue to focus on a safe community, and for that, I'm very grateful. So with that, that covers the issues that impact us and the partnerships throughout the community. I'm happy to answer any questions if you have them. I would say that given our circumstances 2 years ago and where we're at today, the Sheriff's Department is healthy and strong. I'm very pleased with our progress and our work in the community, and I think you can gauge our success by all the good things you read about in the local paper as opposed to criticism. So I would say that right now, given the state's budget situation, we're doing pretty good in maintaining our services and protecting the community.
Does anyone have any questions of our sheriff? I just had one. You wrote op-ed a while ago about Prop 6.
I did.
How, if that passes, how would that impact your budget?
The passage of Proposition 6 does many things, but primarily focused on budget. It would take the money that the state allocates for local public safety initiatives and essentially protect it. We would, that money, the chip in the budget game in Sacramento would be removed, and the lawmakers would no longer be able to come along, zero out public safety funding, and then force the sheriffs and the chiefs to fight to get that funding back for local public safety initiatives.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. District Attorney Birgit Flatter.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for the opportunity to address you on some of these very important issues. First and foremost, we have experienced a cut that was totally unexpected. There was no advance warning. It took every DA in the state by surprise, and that was the elimination of funding for the what's called the Spousal Abuse Prosecution Program, SAP funding. For us, that means $102,000. I first started in that program as the first deputy DA assigned to it back in, I believe it was 1994. At that time, it funded fully a DA's salary, an investigator's salary, a victim advocate's salary, and it provided for training. We were extremely busy. It's an incredibly important program. With the passage of time and increase in costs, the funding that we get from that program or that we got from that program currently only funds an investigator and part of our victim advocate. Nonetheless, it's critical funding, critical services to the community. Given how unexpected that was and how critical the program is and the services provided, I can tell you that we'll be coming back at first quarter and asking to move those positions into the general fund and seeking funding in order to restore and maintain those services. Additionally, there is cuts to adult protective services program, and for us what that means is funding for half of the funding for a criminal investigator. We have an investigator assigned full-time to that unit. He works very closely with APS. He intervenes in situations before they get out of control. He's done that on a number of occasions. And he helps get involved and make cases where we can have prosecutable cases. These are some of our more vulnerable victims. We need to continue to fund this program. We actually believe that we may be able to cover this with salary savings. We are doing our best with projections, looking for salary savings to cover a number of these things, and this is one of them. There is a decrease in revenue from the Department of Child Support Services. We have two investigators who've been working out there from the very beginning. We've had a number of investigators. Currently, there are two. With the decrease in funding, the way that we have addressed that is one of our investigators left us to go take a job at the DA's office in Sacramento. We did not fill that position. Instead, we're taking salary savings there to fund one-third of the cost of the DCSS and the federal government will cover two-thirds. What that does is allows them to maintain their services, allows me to avoid having to lay off two investigators. I view this, frankly, as a stopgap measure to get me through the year. My plan is to bring those investigative positions back. In other words, not fund them through salary savings. I understand the need for child support to have those investigators out there, and my goal is to avoid layoffs to the extent that it is at all possible. So that's why we're taking that step in the interim. We do anticipate a 10% cut to vertical prosecution, and actually I believe we've received notice that we are going to be getting that, and another 10% to victim services. The actual full amounts and impacts are to some degree unknown. Again, these are areas where we hope to avoid having to come to the board and ask for additional funding. We're looking for salary savings. That's what we're going to be relying on, but this is on the table. I will let you know, about a year or so ago, the board authorized a new position for us in victim services, a new victim advocate. Again, it's very important position for public safety. These people go out to the homicide scenes to rape crisis centers. They make contact with the victims. They're there for them. They escort them to court. We have already had to lay off one victim advocate because we realized we would not have enough funding. And we did so about earlier last month with the idea that if we did it quick enough, which we did, we might save another victim advocate position. So these are on the horizon as potential issues. This is all part and parcel of the same thing. We get funding from the state and from the federal government for victim services. We're going to be losing $22,000 here. This is something, again, we're paying close attention to. Next. There will be an increased cost for us due to a decrease in funding from the Stanislaus Drug Enforcement Agency. It's not that much money, $6,800. Again, hopefully salary savings will cover that for us. That it? Okay. Those are some of the items that we're looking at right away that are impacts for us. Most important, of course, is that funding from that grant position for domestic violence that was totally unexpected and is a huge hit for us. Any questions at all I can answer for the board?
Any questions for the district attorney? Just on your workman's fraud, workers' comp fraud unit, that's completely gone.
That is completely gone. We no longer apply. We've eliminated those positions. We don't fill them. We're going to need to actually, I think, delete them if we haven't already. We did, and it's mentioned in the outline, we had requested some funding from the Department of Insurance, which would allow us to bill them for any little bit of work that we did in that area, but we no longer wanted to apply for a full-time grant, full-time positions, which limited us and the ability of those people to do anything except workers' comp. It didn't make any sense to us from a monetary standpoint. Anything else?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I do want to express my appreciation to the Safe Community Working Group and most specifically to Jerry, the sheriff, and Birgit for their work. They have been very proactive in identifying potential areas of a budget concern and developing creative solutions. The issues that DA Flatiger raises and the additional requests that may be forthcoming at first quarter really underscore the effectiveness of the no backfill policy and the degree to which we will utilize the no backfill policy in addressing the cuts that occur to the grant programs. One of the strategies that we're employing as we look at each of these programs is to view each program as a new program and to do it within the context of every other program within Stanislaus County that receives discretionary funding. So it does not stand on its own as an existing program that's asking for more money. It is considered as a new program, and its merits are considered and compared and contrasted with every other program that is already in existence in Stanislaus County or is proposed for funding within Stanislaus County. So will be considered on its merits, evaluated on its merits, and recommended on its merits without regard to whether it's received funding historically. The next area that we'll be discussing is a healthy community. We have two department heads who will be presenting in this area, Denise Hunt and Chris Applegate. Denise.
Thank you. Good morning. Well, you've heard about the mentally ill offender crime reduction grant reductions. For us, this is significant. It's $346,000. And as Chief Powers mentioned, it funded a mental health court. Also, as he and the sheriff acknowledged, we are working hard to find a way to continue some vestige of this service. It's very helpful that the courts find it extremely valuable and have committed their resources to continue if the rest of us can find ways of partnering to cover at least some of the individuals in this program. We're losing $200,000. That is specifically about placement of individuals who are very ill in state hospital beds. What this amounts to really is a 20 to 25% increase in the cost of buying those beds. We, Stanislaus County, buys approximately 5 beds per year. Any one day we have 4 or 5 individuals in state hospital. It's the most high cost and highest acuity placement for people with serious and persistent mental illness. $184,000 is coming actually out of a partnership with CSA and StanWorks. We have behavioral health staff who provide mental health and substance abuse treatment in the StanWorks program to individuals who are trying to get back to work. This reduction is one that we anticipated, so we have absorbed some staffing cuts and other efficiencies to cover that for this fiscal year. $100,000 cut was made. This is essentially a Medi-Cal cut for specialty mental health services in California, and this is this county's share. This was about twice what we had anticipated. That's it? Okay. I had one more that, actually two more. One has to do with the state will be able to take some loans from Mental Health Services Act or Prop 63 funding. We expect that to happen at the state level and not affect our local county reserves. So we're keeping our fingers crossed on that. The other that Chief Powers mentioned is the 10% cut in Prop 36 funding. And we anticipated that, and we've made reductions in that program already. The thing that I want to say is that there's many additional reductions that we're absorbing and that we have anticipated and we're working with, which includes a $600,000 realignment shortfall that we were notified of several weeks ago by the state controller's office. If you add together that plus the cuts I just mentioned to you, that equals $1.4 million for my department this fiscal year. Just to give you context, as you recall, last year we lost $3.4 million from homeless mentally ill funding that the state reduced across California. That was our share of it. 2 years before that, we cut services to 365 indigent individuals and closed 3 community centers. That totaled in excess of $4 million. So you can see that we have been doing nothing but responding to the changes made and the reductions made at the state level. At the same time, we have some Prop 63 money. That's very good news. That money, however, cannot be used to supplant anything that was in existence at the time the act was voted into law. So we have significant structural problems with behavioral health budget. I do not anticipate having any kind of solution to present to the board at first quarter. I expect it'll be closer to mid-year, but I'm very concerned about next fiscal year. And so that's the context that all of these cuts come in. Happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions, Ms. Hunt? Just the one that I have, this Prop 63, I know it's designated funding for specific programs, but doesn't that change over time where you can put it into your general department? Or is it always going to be for specific programs?
It's always going to be for specific programs. The thing that changes is how the state allocates the different streams of money. Right now there are 5 different categories of funding, but the end goal will that it will all be in one, what they call an integrated plan, so we don't have to request each one of 5 streams separately, but it's still tightly regulated by the state in terms of what you can and can't use the money for. So we no longer will ask separately for this pot of money and that pot of money. We'll be able to do an overall integrated request, but it's still very categorical in how we're allowed to spend it overall.
And just how much money does that amount to, approximately, Prop 63?
For our department, we did some projections. Next year it should be about $11 million, I believe.
$11 million?
Correct.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was that much. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next presenter is Chris Applegate.
Good morning. I wanted to put our position in, our situation in kind of a context. When I first started here just a few months ago, I came and shared with you that our department works with 1 out of 5 county residents. As of today, we're working with 1 out of 4. So just in this short time period, our the number of people we touch in this community has already increased. We were just talking before the board meeting that there are days now where you can't find a parking place at our agency, and we have a fairly large parking lot. So it's really impacting our community. We've already trimmed about $7.3 million from our budget, which is a huge number. With the vetoes that came with the state budget, we have an additional $1.8 million to take out of our budget. We've already removed 85 vacant positions. We don't have any more positions to look at. So our first slide, I believe, is adult protective services. As our district attorney has talked about, this is our most vulnerable population, one of the two that we serve in terms of both children and adults who are subject to abuse or neglect. We're looking at 174,000 additional cuts in that area. The way we're addressing this is not filling vacancies. For those places where we didn't have any vacancies to begin with, we're shifting staff around, trying to have them work in other programs. We're trying very hard to not impact the community we serve, but there will be some problems. We've cut overtime. We've cut staffing. We will be responding to everything as quickly as possible, but there may be delays and there may be concerns because the number of people who need our services go up, but our ability to respond is going to be challenged. The next program is tied to that one, our in-home supportive services program, and as you know, this is what we do in terms of helping seniors and dependent adults remain in their own homes rather than go into nursing homes. Again, we don't have any vacancies. We've already reduced those. We're shifting workers around to try to get them to work in other programs. In the last 3 years, this program has grown 19% in this community. So we've had an enormous growth rate. We currently serve 6,000 people in IHSS cases. We have cuts in overtime, and we have cuts in staffing, and this, again, will probably delay some of our services. Unlike some other programs, we can't necessarily say we aren't going to help you. Our services are mandated, and we have to provide for everyone who comes in the door. The loss of county incentive funding was something that is going to be a problem in that was something we could use to backfill any cuts that came from the state. That's now gone. And the thing is that the most upsetting about this particular thing is this is something the county earned for our good performance in terms of reducing the amount of people who are in need of work. And because we earned those incentives, it's kind of a slap in the face because they took it back and we earned it. But they do have that legal right. One of the things that happened in our CalWORKS program is this is one of the areas we were very surprised and upset about. This was not an area we planned on seeing a cut in. We had been told throughout the whole state budget process that this was not being looked at. We focused our energies in adult and protective services and in children's protective services, and we were very surprised when there was an additional huge amount of vetoes, $88 million statewide to the CalWORKS program. This is being an unanticipated cut. We're still working out our solutions of what we're going to do to accommodate this. We always try to put our focus on direct services and make sure we maintain our community context, maintain our partnerships within our county agencies and our nonprofit partners. But this is something that we were not expecting, something we're trying to deal with at the moment. So that's going to be some additional loss in services, and we'll be coming back to you at the next budget and to let you know what we're going to do to deal with that. So the next one is food stamps, and the great irony here is we go to a lot of meetings and get a lot of information from the federal government that they are trying to expand food stamps, especially non-assistant food stamps, to those families who are eligible who need help with their food budgets. And in terms of increasing costs, this is something that could be a benefit to many people in our community. And to reduce the amount of money we have to administer that program is not helping us to expand our outreach in any way. This program has grown by 13% in the last 12 months. And that, again, I think is due to the economy. And we provide benefits and food stamps to 50,000 residents in our community each month. This reduction negates any impact of caseload growth that we might have had. And because, as you know, there's no cost of doing business in any of our programs, this is going to be an additional hit on trying to help people in that area. With Medi-Cal semi-annual reporting, we're not sure exactly what the impact will be. Whenever there's a change in regulation or in the way we do programs, this causes some people to fall off, to get confused about regulations. It causes a lot of activity. It causes work for our staff. It causes concerns for the customers. So we don't know exactly the impact of this at the moment, but it's going to be a lot of getting used to, so there could be some potential for people to fall off the program or have trouble maintaining their eligibility. The suspension of COLAs, or cost of living adjustments, for those people on supplemental security income or state supplemental payment, these are either community residents that are disabled, and this does not necessarily go through our budget, but it very much impacts the people we work with, because this again reduces their ability to get their basic needs met for food, shelter, and clothing. So this is a direct hit to the people on those income sources. Is that it? Oh, when we look and no more slides come, that must be it. So, okay. Are there any questions?
Any questions?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The work of Chris and Denise and the Healthy Community Department heads, I think, is very reflective of the proactive approach taken by all county department heads. They understood early in the budget year that they were going to be facing significant financial challenges, and so have been working all through the summer, actually beginning last spring and through the summer, to work to begin to address what they knew was coming. And as a result, the cuts that they did make and that they started making late last budget year are reflective of 12 months of savings in many cases, rather than what one would expect, which is the 8 to 9 months. Had they waited until the adoption of the final budget, and I do appreciate that work very much. The final presentation by Kirk Ford, well-planned infrastructure. Kirk's going to talk to you a little bit about some of the impacts of redevelopment.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much. I am here as your interim executive director from the Redevelopment Agency. And through the implementing trailer bills, AB 1389, the impact of the redevelopment agency from this budget is based on two different formats. One is the back payments of the statutory pass-throughs to the different taxing entities, and the other is the ERAF payments to schools. The first one, with the back payments, requires the agency and the auditor to go back and evaluate exactly how much we've sent to other taxing entities within the RDA area since 2003. This would include school districts, fire districts, service districts, etc., and then recalculate based on a new formula that we've been provided by the Department of Finance what we should have sent, and then send that amount to the districts. This comes over a 5-year period from 2003 to 2008. This comes from the State Comptroller's Office, and we have been calculating our pass-throughs based on a formula that we previously had been provided by the State Department of Finance. They've now want us to change that formula a little bit and recalculate what we've been doing over the past 5 years. There are also other new reporting requirements from the State Finance Department that the auditor is going to need to use, and when he recalculates our state of indebtedness, our level of indebtedness. So various agency and auditor administrative costs are going to go up from this. The second hit comes as a result of the state not having enough money to fund schools. Basically, they said because the agency already pays some money into the ERAF fund from our tax increment, that we can pay a little bit more. It's kind of like having an adjustable mortgage that we didn't know we had. It suddenly came back to us that we now owe a little bit more to the schools. They have required RDAs throughout the state to pay the greater of either $350 million or 5% of their tax increments to the ERAF fund to backfill the shortfalls in school funding. This amount is based on a formula that includes both our local net increment and a calculation based on the gross increment statewide. California Redevelopment Association has been working on this and has calculated our local potential hit to be about $530,000 for this year. Again, this is a 1-year payment, and it's due in May 2009. The agency currently has a consultant on board right now that is calculating both the anticipated revenue for the next year and the impact of both of these budget hits. We expect the total hit to be somewhere between $500,000 to $600,000 for the RDA this year. We expect to be able to continue all of the projects that we have currently under the RDA, but we're likely going to have to scale back on some. It may mean fewer community cleanups. It may mean less money available for large projects like Empire or the Airport District, but we are going to try to continue every single one of the projects and programs that we do have. Currently, we have some salary savings. We've got a deputy director position that's vacant. We have one associate planner position that's vacant. and we anticipate keeping those positions vacant until we get a better handle on this, at least the associate planner position. Once our consultant comes up with the final revenue estimates and the final calculations of the EREF and the pass-through requirements, we will be coming back to the agency and provide both a modified budget and a new project priority list. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Questions from the board? Okay, thank you, Mr. Ford.
Our final area to present to you today deals with efficient delivery budget units, and I'll present this information to you. To begin with, the CEO County Operations budget is $75.9 million. There are three impacts of the state budget that are going to be very significant this fiscal year. First is a loss of first quarter funding in the CalMet program. That's the California Methamphetamine Program. The $250,000 represents funding that would have supported sheriffs and DA's activities in these programs. Sheriff and DA have addressed the expected budget shortfall, and they met with me a couple weeks ago and went through their strategy to address this shortfall, and I think that they've done an excellent job in preparing for a budget that is $250,000 less than they had originally anticipated. Second area of reduction is a loss of discretionary revenue of $147,000, which represents 10% reduction in our Williamson Act funding. This money, as I already indicated, is discretionary revenue and will affect the funding source that we use for most of the discretionary programs that we provide and support throughout the county. Final is a delay in receipt of SB 90, which reimbursement, which is also in many respects a reduction in discretionary funding. This amount is $2.4 million in the budget year. We don't budget this because of the uncertainty, so it will not have a direct and adverse impact on our budget this year, but it certainly will affect our cash balance and our fund balances going forward. The and there's always an expectation that the state may take a different course when considering reimbursement of counties for state mandated costs, and that in fact did happen this year. I'd like to summarize by touching on just a couple of what I consider very, very valid and relevant issues. First is that the budget that the state adopted does absolutely nothing to begin to address the structural deficit that exists in state government. It does nothing to begin to plan for what we anticipate will be multiple years of funding shortfalls. And as a result, we can expect as a public agency that the impacts will be greater in 2009-10 than they were in 2008-09. And as you've seen, they have been fairly significant in the 2008-09 fiscal year. We'll also point out that we were spared the reduction in our Prop 1A funding, which is a property tax shift the state is authorized to take 2 years out of 10. Prop 42, which is transportation taxes. The jail booking fee the sheriff had identified is a revenue source that the county could, if it chose, pursue from the cities. It will be my recommendation going forward that we not do that. They certainly have enough challenges right now in dealing with their own budgets. We believe we can find internal funding sources to address that for the fiscal year 2008-2009. We do have a no backfill policy that's going to be relevant in our first quarter discussions. And I've already discussed with you briefly the strategy that I will be recommending going forward as we consider the different programs that have been identified for reductions as a result of that no backfill policy. We anticipate that the 2008-2009 fiscal year at a state level will continue to get worse before it gets better. The early indications are that the state is already looking for for a $7 billion loan from the federal government to cover its cash flow deficiencies. I will tell you that we're not, that as a county government and as a public agency, we have been very prudent over the last 3 years in preparing for what we had anticipated all along would be a difficult year in 2008, 2009, 2009-10, and 2010-11. I will also tell you that even the best of strategies are at times not enough, and so we won't know until we know the full effect of the existing economic recession whether or not our budget strategy is going to be adequate to get us through the next 3 years. We do feel that as an organization we are overall in a better position than most public agencies throughout the state of California, and that's due in major part to the work of the department heads, the willingness of those department heads to be proactive in identifying funding alternatives and in looking for strategies that can work in a very difficult financial environment, and looking for ways to expand programs without expanding the demand of resources. Also, I would like to identify and thank those persons in the CEO's office who have worked so diligently, the managers, the deputies and assistant CEOs who've worked so diligently throughout the budget process to develop budget strategies in coordination with the department heads. And I think that collaboration and that willingness to work together has paid huge dividends. The work on this PowerPoint presentation and the presentations made by the department heads is indicative of the close working relationship we enjoy with all of our department heads, and I think is also the single element that will help us get through the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Robinson. Supervisor O'Brien.
First of all, I do want to thank staff and department heads for working so diligently to try to fill the gaps that have been presented to us. The state of California has a spending problem, and until that's addressed, we're going to face this many, many more times. In fact, as even Denise Hunt said, next year, well, that's what we're worried about. We're worried about next year's budget. This year is horrible. What are they going to do to us next year? Because they haven't addressed anything up there in Sacramento. Taxpayers of the state will pass things like Prop 1A that says, hey, hands off the local government money. Yet they have always find a way to get it. And until the taxpayers of the state stand up and say enough's enough, I have a funny feeling we're going to be facing this many more times. I am concerned about next year's budget, because all they did this year was pass it on to next year. We rely so much on funding that trickles down from Sacramento, and it is so difficult to tell our department heads, hey, this is the best we can do. It's just a shame that they will pass a budget like this and turn their backs on us. And some way or another, we will find a way to get through it, because we always do. But until the taxpayers of the state stand up and say, enough, Sacramento, I have a funny feeling we're going to be facing this many more times.
Thank you. Comments from the board? I think there's one thing that was not mentioned, although it's not part of our budget, is the Prop 10 money has been raided also. And it's supposedly been borrowed, but that's almost $7 million. I'd be surprised if that was ever paid back. But I would also like to agree with Supervisor O'Brien, is the, you know, we're at the mercy of the state. The county governments are agents of the state, and we depend upon money from them to operate programs that a lot of times or mostly are mandated by them. And we get our budget done on time, and we balance our budget. I wish the state could do the same. There's no excuse for having a budget 3 months late and $15 billion out of budget. And that kind of deficit is just inexcusable. We do a good job here, and we expect the state to do a little better next year. But unfortunately, nothing has really been fixed in the state budget. What they have done was just kick the can down the street and worry about it next year. The budget next year will be out of balance again, probably by $20 billion, and there has not been any fix. So the danger for the county is really coming next year, because I just see a train wreck coming with declining revenue from sales tax, declining revenue from property taxes, increased operating expenses, and no fix on the horizon. I think that next year is even going to be worse than this year. I hope that's not the case, that I would be prepared for it. Other comments from the board? Okay. Thank you. I don't believe this presentation does not call for a vote.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, you should entertain a motion to accept the report.
Okay.
Move to accept the report.
Second it.
A motion made by Supervisor Grover and seconded by Supervisor Monteith. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay. Report is accepted. We have no scheduled matters today. We will move to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Small Business Administration declaring Tuolumne County and Stanislaus County as a contiguous county, a disaster area due to agricultural losses caused by drought beginning in March 2008 and continuing.
Refer to the Agricultural Commissioner, Sealer of Weights and Measures, and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a letter from the Governor's Office of Emergency Services regarding the U.S. Department of Agriculture granting a secretarial a disaster designation for Tuolumne County and Stanislaus County as a contiguous county due to the agricultural losses caused by the drought beginning in March 2008 and continuing.
Refer to the Agricultural Commissioner, Sealer of Weights and Measures, and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a letter from Barkar Pruden Buildings, Inc., regarding their plans to permanently close their manufacturing plant located at 530 South Tegner Road in Turlock, California, on June 30, 2009. They anticipate that the termination of 177 employees to begin in four waves on or around November 21, 2008 through June 30, 2008, per the Worker Adjustment and Retaining Notification Act.
Refer to the Alliance WorkNet and the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a letter from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development regarding the allocation of $9,744,482 in funding through HUD Neighborhood Stabilization Program to Stanislaus County.
Refer to the Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received a copy of the Mountain Valley Emergency Medical Services Agency's fiscal year 07-08 annual report.
Acknowledge receipt of report.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? Okay, seeing none. Mr. Robinson, do you have a legislative report?
Yes, real quickly, if I may. I do need to back up just a little bit and express my appreciation to Christina Alfaro for doing such an exemplary job of running a very challenging PowerPoint. Good job, Christina. And sitting next to her, Nancy Bronstein, who has been very instrumental in gathering information for the PowerPoint, Cindy Tomlinson behind her, who also worked very, very diligently to put this together, and many others who continue to work that I'm not aware of, I'm certain. So thank you all for that excellent work. Would like to let you know that the governor did sign SB 375, the Steinberg bill, into effect on September 30th. We are on record as opposing that bill, as it does usurp local control of land use decisions, and so we did get on record as opposing the bill and requested the governor's veto. However, he did sign that bill. We also learned recently that the federal government did pass its continuing resolution, which provides funding for the federal government through early March of 2009. That's all I have.
Supervisor Grover.
In response to Mr. Robinson's note on 375, Steinberg is sending a representative to StanCog in this room tomorrow night to school us on how that might work.
Wow.
Yes, spin it, I think, is probably would be a better term. Okay, we will adjourn to closed session. County Council?
Yes, we have a closed session today with the legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation involving one case. And this will be pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9 Subdivision C, and we do not expect any report out.
Okay, this meeting.